11, verses 28 through 30. Passage of scripture, most of you know. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings, and Lord, we do thank you for the rest that you give us in Christ Jesus. Lord, I just ask you tonight to once again stir our hearts. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't have the rest that you have promised in your word that you'll give them, Lord, let them see tonight what's causing them not to have that rest and that peace. God, that they might get that right. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. God loves us, doesn't he? You know, over the years, there's one thing that I have learned. This is God's church. And it's not up to me to try to see that everything is just perfect. God adds to his church. God works in his church. And if I'm going to have rest, you know, we're geared. I was telling somebody before service, we are geared by society today, or in our lives, in our preaching realm, that we've got to do this, 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 this. When I first came here years ago, I thought about Andy Anderson's book and thought, man, I've got to do all of that. If I'm going to be successful, I've got to do all that. And I realized that, man, you don't have to do all of that. God calls you, and he didn't call you to do just everything that Andy Anderson's book said, and all these other books, but we're geared that way. Society gears us that way. Our colleges gears us that way. And we're told that if we're not doing this, 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 and growing and baptizing 100 a year, then something must be wrong with you. And in reality, nothing's wrong with you. It's wrong with everything else that you've been trying to do. You see, God wants us to find rest, and he wants us to enjoy the Christian life. And you find the peace that passes all understanding only in Christ Jesus. And when I found out that I could just relax and not have to worry myself sick over trying to beat a deadline or something, or trying to get so many per year in your church, then it was a whole lot easier. I was talking to someone the other day that says, you know, it's not how big your church is, it's how you preach to those that God has given you, and how he works in it. So I want to ask you tonight, when we become his disciple in Christ Jesus, we find rest. What is rest? When Jesus Christ came into our lives, he says, "I will give you rest." And by definition, that word rest means refreshment. I'll give you ease in your life. This week I heard someone say, "I want to get all washed up and clean." And I remembered when I thought about all washed up. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a working family. I grew up in a hay field and a hay barn. And let me tell you something. In the summertime, hauling hay, it is hot. It is extra hot, man. Let me tell you. I grew up when picking tomatoes. We had a tomato gin and shed down at Recklaw, and our families worked hard and picked tomatoes, and we hauled hay. And when I was 13, or legally you had to wait till you're 13 before you could work, you know. But we started out awful young as 13, and we'd work. And back then we worked a quarter an hour. That's not a whole lot a day now, you figure, but back then it was pretty good. But hay hauling meant you got in that old truck, got out in that hot field in the sunshine, And you know, when you start hauling that hay, you get sweaty, and that old grass falls down your neck, and you know, you're throwing them hay bales up on the truck, and all of that kind of stuff. Well, it's hot, heavy, dirty work. And when the Texas sun's shining down on you at 100 and something degrees plus, man, it's bad. And by the end of the day, with the sweat, your shirt's got dirt stuck to you. It's dirty. You're dirty. You're smelly. Then them old tin barns, they're covered with wasps and everything else. And then in the weeds, we call them red bugs. Some of y'all sophisticated people call them chiggers. But we call them red bugs back then. And they were every bit. My uncle said, you know, if that thing was as big, you have to get a magnifying glass to find it probably. You know, when he bites you, he turns white. So if you get a magnifying glass and find where he's biting you, you know where he's biting you. Well, you can see him there. And if he's as big as your thumbnail, the poison in that little thing would kill you instantly. But let me tell you something. They not only get to the epi, they get down to the dermis, boy. And they will get way down in your life. And at the end of the day, you're hot, smelly, sweaty. You know what you want to do? First thing you want to do is to go into the house, get rid of all those clothes, and get in a good old hot shower or a tub of water and wash all that filth off of you. You want to get clean in your life. Now, when you get clean in your life, you can find rest. You don't want to lay down and try to rest with all that on you. But that's what rest is. Rest is coming clean. Getting clean. That's what we are looking for in our life. Getting our lives clean before God. Folks, it takes some time doing that. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Lord, how can a man be born again? How can I come clean in life? Pontius Pilate wanted to clean his conscience. You remember of Jesus? And you know what he did? The restlessness within him caused him to wash his hands and dry his hands. But folks, let me tell you something. It wasn't his hands that was dirty. It was his soul. And his soul never came clean by just washing your hands. Zacchaeus wanted to find rest. And you know what he did? He came clean with Jesus. He not only cleaned his hands, he cleaned his whole life out before Jesus. David said this when he was a young man. He was hunted by Saul. And he said, I was hunted like a partridge in the mountains. But during that time that he was hunting and he was running from Saul, he testified literally of the peace of God in his life. And he had confidence in the presence of the Lord. And during that stressful time in David's life, he found rest. Now think of it. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you're facing some stress tonight. Maybe you're facing some problems in life. Don't you want to come clean? Don't you want to get rid of all the dirt and the filth in your life? Later on, when David was with, he got back into some dirt and grit and grime when he had an affair with Bathsheba, and he longed for cleansing. And this is what he said in Psalm 51. He said, have mercy upon me, O God. Wash me thoroughly. Not just a little bit of me, but wash me thoroughly from my sins and cleanse my heart. The very deepest part of his life, he said, Lord, would you please wash me clean? You see, he didn't want just the outside. He wanted the very heart of the matter. He was screaming like all of us, Lord, I want to be washed clean of all the filth. Trouble is today in our churches, we want God to wash us, but we just want a little bit. We want to hang on to some unclean things in our life. And folks, when we commit ourselves to God, we need to commit all of ourselves to Him. If you're not going to serve Him wholeheartedly, God says, I don't want that. I want everything about you. I want you to seek me first in your life. Put me wholeheartedly in your life. I don't want just a little bit of you. I want you wholeheartedly. Wash all of me. Come clean. Today we have a lot that are washed but not clean. And I believe this is a cry of the people we see today in our churches. They've come to Jesus Christ, and He bathes them, and He cleans them up, and He gives them rest. They know Jesus Christ as Lord, and they're still crying, Preacher, I'm restless in my life. I don't have the rest that I need. And I'm thinking, well, what's wrong? If you're not receiving the rest, if you're not receiving the cleansing, and you've come to Jesus Christ, what is wrong in your life? And then I got the reading about the Old Testament, and I see the Israelites are a good example of what's wrong with most of our Christians in our churches today. We've been saved so as by fire, but we're like the Israelites. See, they followed the Lord through the wilderness. They walked with Him through the wilderness, and then they came to the promised land, and they found the inhabitants of the land. And instead of doing what God asked them to do, have no other gods before me, they started worshiping right along with the inhabitants of the land. They begin to accept Baal worship in, and they begin to bring the worship of other gods in. And before long, their lives was displeasing to God, and they weren't being restful anymore. They didn't have that rest. Today we've had the materialism put in our churches. We accept Christ as Lord and Savior. I'll ask people all the time, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh yes, preacher, I do. But they're not sold out to God. They're still serving the materialists of the world. Our claim is Lord, but we've let other gods slip into our life. We've let our children slip into our life. We let our home slip into our life. We let our work slip into the life. And we put our priorities on other things in our life. That's the reason people today are not at rest with God. They don't have the peace. They don't have a testimony that's alive. You see? We say all the right things in worship, but we go out there where other gods are, and we live just like the world during the rest of the week. You can't do that and be clean. God says you don't understand. You're worshiping your work, and you're working at your play, and you're playing at your worship, and that won't get it. And no wonder our churches are falling by the wayside. Hey, let me tell you something. In America, across America today, we're losing the battle. Our churches are turning away from God. They're falling into the same things the world is. Man, I don't want a church like that. And we have people that go to, Ron and I was talking about it going down the street. People don't, they want a non-denominational church. And I don't understand that. But if you look over in our Baptist realm today, we're putting our churches anything but the word Baptist on them. I'm not ashamed of Baptists myself. Man, I think Baptist has got it right. And I think the world wants to put us down because we have got it right. And they say, you Baptists can't have any fun. Oh, yeah, we can. You Baptists don't believe the right thing. Yes, we do. And, brother, I believe God wants us to know what we believe and live what we believe, you see? I'm not ashamed of that. If we profess Christ, we ought to profess Christ and live like Christ in our daily life. You know, if not, it's like those chiggers. they begin gnawing away at you just a little bit at a time. And they begin itching you away, and let me tell you something, they burn, and no matter how you scratch, you just can't seem to get deep enough. And let me tell you something, our Christians today and our churches are being eaten alive by the ways of the world. They don't know what they believe, and they've been crowded out by the things of the world. Sin's come into their life. No wonder we don't have peace. No wonder we don't see baptisms up. And you know, it's not, I don't look for big numbers. I don't look for a big baptisms. I love to see our baptistry filled. I love to see people being baptized. But also, I want to be sure that those that are baptized are discipled and made know what they're in for. Man, if I just stood up here and told you, oh man, you've been saved now, don't worry about it. You go out here and you've been saved so as by fire, you can live all right, you can live. Man, no. Once you're saved and you're baptized, man, you ought to live like Christ. You ought to go out there and you ought to have a different spring in your step. You ought to have a different way you talk. You ought to have a clean life, a holy life. Man, I'll tell you what, let me tell you. We ought to be clean for eternity. How do you see Scripture? Well, I see it as God saying, you do this, you obey this, and I will take care of you. You don't obey my word, and brother, we're in for a hard time. You know, when my dad told me to do something, I didn't ask him, Dad, were you serious? I knew he was serious. What do you think Christ sounded like when he said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, all ye that are weary and burdened and heavy laden? How do you think he sounded? Was it just, y'all come to me if you want to find rest? I don't think so. I think it was a command. Come to me and find rest. You see? I believe there was urgency in his voice. I want to say, young people, to our young people, serve God with all your heart. You know, you got a whole life ahead of you. You know, live it for God. I saw these young people up here this morning, marriages and family. Yes, your family is important. Those children are important. Get them in church. Train them up the way they should go. I believe Jesus was pleading for people, listen, you must come to me. You're not going to find rest out there in the world. Man, my burdens, bring them to me. Cast every care on me. Friends, there's an urgency about Jesus Christ. He died a shameful, painful, agonizing death on the cross. You know, I heard someone say, well, you can be saved, you know, by doing this and this and this. I said, uh-uh. That's not what the Bible says. It says through Jesus Christ you're saved. He's the only way. You're saying by, if there's other ways, that his death on the cross, he shouldn't have died there then, if there's some other way. I believe Jesus Christ was serious in his life, and he said, listen, the only way as Christians you're going to find rest is to come to me and live for me. You see, when I grew up, I knew that in my house, when I came home, I was going to be loved. I was going to be cared for. There was going to be food on the table. Mother was going to have a place for us to lay down and sleep. Why? They were our protectors. They were our parents. That's what parents do. They make sure their kids have these things. God is our Father. And when we come to Him, He wants to take care of us. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is loving. And I believe we'll all get to heaven somehow. Friends, if you believe that, You're not going to get to heaven just because you live a good life. I don't believe he'll send people to hell, preacher, because God is God of love. He doesn't send people to hell. People go there because they reject him. How in the world do people think they can edit out parts of the Bible? I'll never know. Yet I was told this week that we couldn't believe and trust that anymore. And I thought, man, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stake my life on it. You see, remember that owner's manual I told you about? Brother Perry, you ought to go on that trip and let Donna read that thing to you about that car, if you don't know it by now. I told you Wednesday night, I believe it was Wednesday night, I forget, folks. That was a few Sundays ago. I told you that the best way to do when you got a new car was go on a trip and let your wife read the whole owner's manual to you. That's the way we did. Rhonda read that thing. I understood it completely. You know, she's a good reader. But you know what? This is the owner's manual for my life. And folks, we need to read it. We need to study it. We need to be accountable to it. We need to trust it with our lives. Invest our lives in the Word of God. As believers, and I figure most of us here are believers tonight, but we ought to get into the Word of God and study it with all our heart. Get into that Bible class. Grow in your Christian life. That's what we're here for. We're to make disciples. You know, there's going to be an accounting one of these days, and I want to hear Christ say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You did everything that I asked you to do." He's not going to ask me, "All right, Byron, I think you'll call me by my name." He's probably not going to use my nickname, although he knows it, I guarantee you. But I think he's going to say, "All right, how come your church didn't run 1,000? He's not going to say that, is he? He's going to say, "Did you do what I asked you to do with what you had?" It's not how big your church is. I heard someone say the other day, we were talking, he said, "Well, I'm just a pastor of a little church." Folks, there's no little churches in God's kingdom. No little churches. There's no little people. If you are saved, he died for you, and you are important to him. We're going to give an account of our lives. What we did with what we had. Some will go away into eternal punishment, and some will go away to eternal life. Our Lord says, "Don't get caught in the fire." You know what? I think hell is a place where all the chiggers of life are gnawing on you for all eternity. Man, I tell you what, there's no getting away from that. I know one thing. In that hayfield, I couldn't wait to get home. And I couldn't wait to get clean. And folks, I believe as a Christian, that's what we ought to feel. If something dirty comes our way, if we do something, we ought to confess it right then and get our lives clean with God. In heaven, they'll never need to get a bath because we're always going to be with God clean in heaven. But hell is a place where there's all kinds of filth and you'll never get clean. Folks, you don't want to go there. Some years ago, I had a friend that he went out and he was welding. And he welded into a barrel and that barrel exploded with him. Literally burnt him to death. That flash fire was so bright that he burned his face, he burned his body. They took him to Parkland. He died at Parkland Hospital in Dallas at the burn unit. But I saw him, and you know how swollen he was because of the fire. And I thought, you know, the moment he died, I thought, praise God, he'll never have to feel another flame or fire again. Folks, Jesus says, "Come to me. All you that need rest, don't miss out on God's rest. All we have to do is come to Him and give Him our lives and say, here's my life, Lord. Take it and use it. Whatever you see fit, use it. I don't know how God will, it'll all end up, but I know we're on the winning side, and I know where I'm going to spend eternity. But while I'm here, I'm supposed to be doing what God has told me to do, and that's giving my all to Him. You see? And I believe if we give it all to Him, we can rest easy. We can rest sure. Because He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. I found rest for my soul. It's all up to God. All I have to do is what God asked me to do. And that's all you have to do, is do what God asked you to do. Give it all to Him. Folks, there's no reason we ought to have any needs in this church, because God has blessed us all here. And He said, all you have to do is what I ask you to do. And I'll add to you, I'll grow the church. I'll see that you have rest. I'll see you have peace. I'll take care of the finances. You see, I don't worry. That's Doug's part. I don't worry about the finances of the church, because God says I can take care of it. I'm never late on anything, you see. But He says, I use you, and I use you as a people. All we have to do is what God asks us to do. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be preaching on tithing. And I'll go ahead and spring it on you. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment for this next year. We all can't give the same amount, but we can all give what God has blessed us with. Amen? And we ought to do that much. And I tell you, if we do that much, we'll see God work this year in the greatest way that we've ever seen over the 30 years I've been here. Because I believe God's not through with us yet. He's got a blessing for us. This morning was just a sample. Every single time, I don't know why I don't do it every Sunday, but every single time that I ask God to show me that He's not through with me yet, He sends people our way. It just seems to work like that. Folks, God is not through with this church. Let's get active in it. Let's move forward in it. Let's make this the greatest year of this church. It'll start right here, because you're the faithful. You're the ones that are faithful to come. And it starts with us having that boldness, that excitement of what God is doing. I remember a few years ago, and I'm through the message right now, I'm just talking to you. I remember a few years ago that when we started out, you know, it's a proven fact that new church works grow fast up to a certain point, and then they kind of level off. Why is that? Because people are excited about it. They come and say, man, this is a new work. Let's grow this church. Let's get out. And they got an excitement about them. And they get out and start telling people about, hey, we're growing a church up here. We started a church. Let's get people in here. And they're excited about it. But after so many years, oh, we're not so excited about it anymore. You know, we've got a few here. We kind of just level off. Let's don't level off. Let's get excited about what God is doing. And let's go out and share that with everybody. And I guarantee you, God will bless in an amazing, amazing way. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that we find rest only in You. And God, if there's someone here tonight that hasn't got their life washed up completely, Lord, may they do that tonight. May they just get their life clean before You. Get all the filth of the world off, that You just might use them in a mighty way. Lord, I just pray tonight that that'll be our prayer. Wash me thoroughly so that I can find peace, that I can find rest. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.